Welcome to the second hour of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. To join us in Portland, call toll-free at 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. You can email us at courtside@trailblazers.com or send us a text message, courtside at 66937.
That's John Curry. If you're watching on Comcast Sportsnet, you think I'm getting ahead of things, folks, getting excited about Brandon, possibly John Curry, one of our camera guys here at Comcast Sportsnet, you know, getting ahead of us, putting the Beat LA sign up. Blazers have two games before that. Come on, Curry. Beat the Jazz. Let's see. Beat Utah on the sign. All right.
Look at you switching gears.
We all want to beat LA. We are here. Hour number two. Trailblazers Courtside, Comcast Sportsnet, Blazers Radio Network, and streaming live as always at trailblazers.com. Jay Allen, Michael Holton, Rebecca Harlow, and we are joined now by Trailblazers assistant coach Monty Williams. He is with us live from Salt Lake City. Coach, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you guys.
Hey, we want to talk to you about a couple of things, but first of all, it kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I heard you talking to the media after practice today a lot about Nicholas Batum, and he has made so much progress, you know, perfecting his or working on his game over the summer with the French national team. Obviously, he put in a lot of hours in the gym, and we're seeing the fruit of that labor here just in these first five games back. What have you seen? Talk about the growth you've seen in Nicholas.
I think Nick is a lot more comfortable here in the States playing in the NBA. You know, you take guys, you take them away from their home. They're thousands of miles away from their street signs, their normal stores, their friends, and we expect them to pick up and just be themselves right away. I think Nick is comfortable in West Lynn, where he lives, or Lake Oswego, one of those spots. I think he's comfortable coming to the practice site. I think he's comfortable being around the guys. You know, he's laughing more. He's, you know, he'll crack a joke every once in a while. He's a pretty smart kid. He speaks three or four languages. So he's just more comfortable in his skin, and I think it translates to him being a better player because, you know, he understands how important he is, and now he can get out there on the floor and show people what he can do without worrying about fitting in. Now he can just play, and I think playing on the national team and being basically their go-to guy when Tony Parker got hurt, Nick was the go-to guy this summer, and I think that for sure builds your confidence when you have Boris Diaw and I think Turioff and other guys like that on your team. You know, he has a lot of confidence. He has a ways to go, but, you know, the future is certainly bright for Nicholas.
Mont, Nick talks about all the time how great it is to work out with you, and you were the guy who is spending a whole lot of time with him over the last couple of months, especially. I was talking to him this past week, and he said, you know what? Last year, Monty told me that I was a kid, and now I'm a young man. So you should be happy that you've got that influence over him. But I think it's really true. His swagger, his maturity, it's just great to see how much he's grown into himself.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel bad that I'm calling Nicholas a young man, and I'm only 38, but I guess I'm moving up in age. But you know, again, he has confidence. He has a bit of a swagger. He has, and he's played well. I think when you step right in and start playing well, like he and Rudy have, and it helps you with your confidence. And not only that, he stepped in to a void that needed to be filled. You know, we did not have a defender like Nick. What really gets lost in all this is how well Martell is defended. You know, he's defended the best guys every night, and they defend differently. Nick can defend full court, and in the Dallas game, he defended 1, 2, 3, and 4 and was on Nowitzki down the stretch. And so having a guy like that, his swagger is going to get, I don't know if swagger can get bigger or grow or what, but I think his confidence is going to grow. And the cool thing about Nick, he's such a humble guy. When he's done playing ball, you know, if he wasn't 6'8 or 6'9, you wouldn't even know he played basketball because he never talks about himself. And when he and I talk, we rarely talk about what he did on the floor. Most of the time we talk about how he can improve, but he's always talking about other players, you know, how he marvels at Brandon or, you know, some of the guys he has to guard. And so I think that that humble attitude adds to one of the reasons why, or the many reasons why, we like Nick a lot.
Coach, you know, Nicholas Batum is obviously good and effective and has an impact on the defensive end, as you just pointed out, guarding multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has the ability to convert steals and transition and open court opportunities and, you know, convert with authority.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, is there really a correlation between Nicholas getting in the open court and finishing and the increase in points in the paint and fast break points that the team has enjoyed over the last couple of games?
Maybe. Nate has we've changed some of our defensive approaches. You know, we like to get into a full court trap with LaMarcus, and we've backed off that a bit and has kept our defense tighter. But I think Nick does a good job of playing off of LaMarcus and Juwan. They're such good interior defenders. Nick can gamble a little more. I remember having the opportunity to play with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, and when those guys are behind you, you can gamble because they cover up your mistakes. I'm not saying that LaMarcus and Juwan are like Tim and Dave, but the concept is the same. And Nick certainly is one of the better on-the-ball defenders, weak-side defenders, and he just has a natural instinct to get steals and get out in the open court. And, you know, he's one of our best athletes, so he can finish with authority. You know, one of the ways he helped our team last year was, you know, tracking guys down who had fast breaks, and he would block the shot, you know, whether it be a layup or a dunk. And LeBron James got all kinds of credit for doing that. Nick probably had just as many blocks that way. And so he has the ability to get out in the open court, and his defense probably allows him to get steals and do a lot more of that, and I think we're going to see more as he gets his legs under him and gets his playing legs under him now. He doesn't have them, you know, like he would probably want to, but I think that's going to come soon.
How long does that take, Mont, to get your game shape legs back?
I think it's different for different guys. With a guy like Nick, you know, he plays defense full court, and so it probably takes him longer to get to where his endurance is something he doesn't have to think about. You know, when you're playing in the game, the last thing you want to think about is being tired. So I don't think he's there yet. I think it's coming along. Whereas a guy like Brandon, who has a different pace to his game, it may only take Brandon a game or two to get his legs back because he and Nick play different games and they exert different energies to play the game. So it might be different for different guys.
Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams with us live from Salt Lake City. And we talked about Nicholas Batum. We know you were also earlier today working out Travis Outlaw and Brandon Roy. Brandon was with us in the first hour, and he went through a pretty good workout earlier today. How did he look, did you think?
Brandon's Brandon. I mean, he could take 3 or 4 weeks off, step on the floor, and just look like he never stepped away from the floor. He's probably what they call a prodigy. You know, he's got so much in his game. And today we were doing some stuff where I was just being real physical with the guys, and you know, I'd take something away, and naturally he would just, you know, take what I gave him and score. Huh. And, you know, Pop taught me a long time ago, if you have guys like that, your goal is to not mess them up. And so I just try not to mess with Brandon too much because he's got a lot going on in his game that, you know, just comes naturally to him. And Travis, it was cool to have him on the floor today. You know, he's put on a little, maybe a pound and a half of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wants me to say 5 pounds of muscle, but it's more like
I thought it was 10 myself, but okay, whatever.
Probably more like 12 ounces. Most of that is in his head. But it was cool to have him on the floor because he has such an impact on our team, and everybody loves Trav, and, you know, we love his killer instinct at the end of games, and his versatility is it was – a welcome sight to see him getting into his one dribble pull-up today, and it was good to have him out there on the floor.
Jay and I heard last night that Travis will or is making this trip with you guys, and that his return is maybe about a week and a half after All-Star. We know that that's still depending on what the doctors say, but do you think he's getting close?
Yeah, I think he's closer. A lot of it depends on his confidence that he can be Travis. You know, a lot of times you have injuries. You have a wrist injury or something like that, and you just step back on the floor and you play. But when you have an injury in your foot or your ankle or your knee, you always wonder if you're going to have the same explosion. And so I think once he gets back to that, where he has the confidence where he can, you know, jump 42 or 43 inches off the ground and do his thing, I think he'll be more than willing to get back on the floor. I know he wants to get back out there now, but he has a ways to go as far as conditioning. And he was going over plays today, which was really cool to see him out there asking questions, because we have put some new stuff in. And so there's a lot that goes with it. You know, it's a lot different than a point guard. Point guard probably has to know a little bit more than a small forward or a power forward, but still having him out there asking questions, it just looked right having him on the floor today.
You know, Coach, as Travis nears his return and Nicholas is obviously hitting his stride and Rudy's is getting more productive. You know, you look at the last game and the Blazer bench outscored the Bobcats 45-19. Do you think it's a reasonable expectation for Blazer fans down the stretch of the season that the depth will begin to wear other teams down and the bench production will be in the Blazers' favor?
Well, that may be a little jaded in that the Bobcats don't really play their bench as much as we do. I think Murray and Brown, those guys don't play as much, and they certainly don't get the attempts. But I mean, we certainly value our bench. You know, having guys like Rudy and Nick come off of our bench, and Steve Blake when he's knocking down his shot, and Dante's been playing out of this world for a guy who wasn't expected to play this year. You know, if we can get 45 points, I think the leading bench team in the league is San Antonio. They're at 42 or 43, I think. But anytime you can get 30 to 35 points from your bench, I mean, it only helps your team. And, you know, if we can get Brandon going again soon and add that bench, you know, it makes us a tough team. And the better our bench is, the more other teams have to scout our bench. You just can't key on Brandon and LaMarcus. You know, you have to worry about our bench. And so it's an added element that we welcome.
Hey, Coach, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your evening there in Salt Lake City and bring home a win against the Jazz tomorrow night.
Enjoy my evening in Salt Lake. What is that?
I don't know. You're there. You'll have to tell us.
I'm in my room. Books here. I just had room service. Curtains are shut. There is nothing going on in Salt Lake.
The highlights are the mints on the pillow.
Hey, look, mints on the pillow and that little breakfast car that you never use, that's the highlight of Salt Lake.
All right, Coach. Well, have a good night, and we'll see you when you get back from this quick trip.
Good luck.
All right,
Matt.
Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams joining us live from Salt Lake City. We're going to take a quick timeout. At the bottom of the hour, Wendell Maxey from USA Today and BeyondTheBeat.com will join us. He has an article coming out on Brandon Roy a little bit later on. But in the next segment, we have some open time for some phone calls. If you've always wanted to ask Michael or Rebecca a question about the NBA or the Blazers, or maybe more about Rebecca's hat or wardrobe, you know, whatever's on your mind tonight. No, don't encourage him.
We're talking sports here.
Okay, we're talking Blazers and NBA. 503-963-4595. Toll-free 877-475-4595. You can also get in touch with us via email, courtside@trailblazers.com, or text us. Send the word courtside to 66937. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you, as always, by Pacific Power and their Blue Sky Renewable Energy. Lighten your footprint and enroll at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Jay Allen, Michael Holton, Rebecca Harlow back with you here live on Trailblazers Courtside. From our Rose Garden studios, Wendell Maxey from USA Today and BeyondTheBeat.com will be with us in our next segment. He has a
Great feature piece coming out about Brandon Roy. It's going to be in USA Today a little bit later this week. And right now we're going out to the phones at 503-963-4595. Let's check in with Chris in Portland. Chris, you're on Trailblazers Courtside.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, hey, great show today. Thank you very much for having all three of you on today.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
And just out of curiosity, you know, it was great to see everyone coming back from the injuries, but what have you guys heard about Greg Oden? Is it actually possible for him to come back at the end of the season? Or is it like, are we still looking more realistically for next season?
Well, Chris, I still think that that's a question mark. It's definitely a possibility, which is exciting, and it's definitely something that Greg is shooting for. But I don't think he'll really know for the next couple of months. That's definitely the hope. But the thing is, things are moving along well. He's definitely off the crutches. He's walking with the cane. He's back in the weight room. He's doing his pool workouts. So he's been working really hard, and the trainers and the coaches are really excited with the progress that he's making. But I just think that they're being careful with his return, and we're certainly hearing that that's the hope. And we just got to keep on hoping, I guess, Chris.
Yeah, and they're not going to rush him back. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and they've done a great job this season, the Blazers, doctors, trainers, medical staff, not rushing guys back. In fact, being cautious, very cautious, perhaps overcautious, but that's what you have to do with, you know, these commodities that we call NBA players. I mean, they're very valuable commodities, especially when you're talking about a guy like Brandon Roy, Travis Alla, all the guys who have been hurt. And, you know, I think better safe than sorry. And if that means that Greg doesn't play this season, I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I would love to see Greg out there for the last month of the season, you know, run into the playoffs. But if it means, you know, it's a risk or anything like that, don't take the chance. Let's get him back good as new 100% next season.
I agree. And, you know, one other thing that I think that's been really great about Greg during this whole time that he's been out is mentally he's stayed in a really good place. He mm-hmm. is here for every single game in the training room. He's going through ice and stim and rehab as much as he possibly can. He's been at the practice facility every single day, and he's staying very positive about coming back from this injury. And I think the mental battle sometimes is half the battle, and it's been great to see that he's kept his head in the game. He's been super supportive of his team, and really I think that helps in coming back.
I think when he comes back, whether it's this year or next year, he's going to come back really with a renewed confidence, almost like what you see in Nicholas Batum, because of how well he played before he got hurt. I mean, Greg Oden got to a point where he was commanding double teams. His post game was fluid and smooth, his balance, his energy, his explosiveness. And when that happens and then you step back and you watch the game, when you return with a higher level of confidence and feel.
Now, here is probably the most important text we've gotten all night. A very important question, and Rebecca, you can probably speak to this. Is Mike Rice always eating? That's all the text says. They showed him last night, didn't they, on the TV broadcast where you guys talked about how the wild one, he's
they
always
did,
just chomping away.
Yeah, well, you know, he's always eating if the food is free.
Of course. Well, he doesn't pay for a meal. No, never.
Well, we were having a conversation about him stashing a bag of peanuts on the set when he was going to do courtside, so I think he definitely forecast his dietary needs.
All right, we love the wild
he
one.
He can afford it. He's a skinny guy.
There you go. All right, we're going to take another quick timeout. We'll come back. And when we return, Wendell Maxey of USA Today and BeyondTheBeat.net will be with us. He has an article coming out a little bit later this week in USA Today about Brandon Roy. And we'll talk.
Those are rice and peanuts. The bag is empty.
Yeah, you know, the wild one was just here. The bag is empty.
We love you, Rice.
Quick break.
You.
There are a couple scraps for us. We'll be right back here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Jay Allen, Michael Holton, and Rebecca Harlow here. Hour number two of the show continues. And we are joined now live by Wendell Maxey. He writes for USA Today and BeyondTheBeat.net. Check out that website. A lot of great stuff about the Blazers and also the NBA. And Wendell, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show tonight is because I know you've been working, you've been putting in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. A big piece coming out later this week in USA Today about Brandon Roy. Tell us a little bit about the focus of the piece on B-Roy.
Geez, Jay, after that build-up, I hope it does come out.
They better publish that thing.
Killing me. Well, definitely be out before the All-Star break because it is really kind of about just the maturation of Brandon and him developing himself and from being an all-star and ready to take that next step. You know, and we all know that Brandon is kind of a guy that flies under the radar around the league. I'm not even sure sometimes the, East Coast, quote-unquote, experts really even give Brandon the credit that he deserves. I mean, particularly now with the, the injuries, and that's all you hear about is in the headlines, the injuries where, as you forget about, Brandon, where he ranks, 23 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and putting him in the company of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And that's, it's really tough because here he is playing at a time where he is in that shadow of a LeBron or a Dwayne Wade or a Kobe Bryant where, and I think we can all testify to this, that he should be up in that category. And you know, I know there's some criteria that's a little iffy, whether it be championships or MVP talk, things of that nature with when it comes to Brandon and making that comparison. But I think that's a discussion and maybe a debate that needs to be had, and that's basically the heart of the piece.
I like it.
I hope so.
When is it going to be published? Do you know yet?
I've been swapping. I was telling Rich, before we went on the air, I'm like, man, I wish, newspaper editors were as responsive as the captain, but it's not that way. But I'm hoping it rolls out on Friday.
Okay.
If not, it'll be early next week. And I also I'm working on a kind of Greg Oden, Joe Prisbilla combo piece on their rehab process and things like that. So those will be out in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, is there an editor we need to call? Because we can flex our considerable
hey, Jay,
muscle.
I know you got pull like that, Jay.
Yeah, right.
You got pull like that.
You know, we see what Brandon does on the court all the time. And for you, what is it like to actually work with Brandon on an article like this? He's such a classy guy on and off the floor.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting, Rebecca, because I talked about this with Jay and Michael last time I was on the show, but I started out covering the league in New York and covering the Knicks and the New Jersey Nets. And that's such a different, the way the players handle themselves in that kind of market versus kind of a smaller market like Portland, it is refreshing when you know that you can come up to somebody like Brandon, who is, the most humble guy you're going to meet, whether he's an NBA player or just one-on-one as a person. That's where I try to meet guys is for, who they are instead of what they do. And with Brandon, I think he definitely reciprocates that, where some – when I have to wait 45 minutes to talk to Kobe Bryant when he's in town because he's trapped up in the trainer's room, that's not Brandon. You know what I mean? And so it's refreshing to be able to work with somebody like that and know that when I go to him and I say, what do you think about not being selected as, as an all-star starter? And he comes flat on and says, people sleep on me. I'm never going to be a starter, But it's in a joking and a laughing, a good, good-hearted nature ribbon between either himself or a reporter. And I think if you ask any of the guys on the P, I think they would all kind of give you that same response.
When you look at Brandon's role on this team, obviously he's the cornerstone of this franchise, the marquee player, the star, the finisher, and the list can go on of what he does and what he brings. In his absence, a lot of guys have had an opportunity to play and to step up and have to try to become a part of closing the show for the Trailblazers. I ask that question really when I look at this Western Conference race down the stretch of Utah, San Antonio. You look at OKC playing better. You look at Memphis. Do you think the Trailblazers are better positioned to make a push because of the guys having to step in and all of the injuries?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Michael, because I think if you were to look at the teams, whether it be at Denver, or Utah or, the Lakers, obviously, it's really then come down to a supporting cast. And, I say that because, you have Carmelo Anthony that's kind of limping in to the All-Star break. Chris Paul went down. So it's really going to depend on supporting cast of these teams. You look at a situation in Los Angeles with Kobe, and he's having to call his guys out, for not really kind of stepping up. Where the flip side of that, even though Portland's gone through their rough stretches, you have seen, Andre Miller shoulder the load. You've seen LaMarcus kind of going through some ebbs and flows of the season, but he's put in some some good minutes and some good quarters of late. And even just getting somebody like Nicholas back and having Nicholas Batum be able to contribute, have a guy that, you know, you can put on your you know, the 1-2 or the 3. I mean, that is huge. And that's really what it's going to come down to, Michael, I think, is just the bench, the reserves and the supporting cast if your all-stars aren't there.
Wendell Maxey from BeyondTheBeat.net and USA Today is with us live. He's based here in Portland. He covers the Blazers and the NBA on a regular basis. Wendell, I'm curious, how do you think it's going to shake out at the small forward position? You know, Martell Webster is starting right now. Nicholas Batum has been playing at a high level. And then in the week or so after the All-Star break, we're going to see Travis Outlaw back on the court. You know, how do the minutes and, I guess, the starting job, how does that all get divvied up?
You know, well, there's a long list right now, Jed, and if you're aware of this, that's going around that people pushing Nicholas to start. You know, and that's definitely something that we have to consider, too, because with Travis coming back and Nicholas producing like he has, you know, unfortunately, I feel it's going to come down to a decision that you're going to have to make with Martell Webster at some point. You know, they're going to ease Travis back in with the minutes and give him, you know, spot minutes just like they did, you know, Nicholas 6 minutes here, 6 minutes, you know, this quarter. You know, I could see Nate, and I don't want to put any words in Nate's mouth because I have not asked him about this, but I could see them sliding Martell and him getting some minutes at the 2. And then also splitting minutes as small four. So I think it's, you know, going to be a situation where we, you know, like they did going into camp where they didn't really know what to expect and who was going to get those minutes and things like that. But the big difference now is that, you know, guys just, they don't care where they fit in. You know, they'll do and know it's going to end up taking however Nate wants to play it out. Is going to be fine with them. You know, there was so much discussion going into camp and going into the season. It was going to be a big, you know, uproar about what's going to happen at that small forward position. I think if you were to ask those guys, they'd be like, I don't care. I really don't care. Just, you know, whatever they need me to do.
When you take a look at the West, there are so many teams that are playing right now, and it's the teams at the bottom who have improved a lot. When you look below Portland, you've got Phoenix, Memphis, New Orleans. Who do you think of that group is the biggest threat, and who do we need to play well against down the stretch here?
Oh, geez, all of them. I mean, realistically, I mean, the thing is with Rebecca, it just does change a dynamic with Chris Paul going out like he did, but you saw how they played when they came here, you know, and that was really, you know, they put on a show between him and David West, and Portland definitely, you know, had their chances to win that game and didn't capitalize. But even a team like Phoenix is just flat out scary. You know, I mean, whether it's Steve Nash, you know, or Jason Richardson, or even Channing Frye now on the perimeter, you know, and I watched Channing his whole rookie year in New York, and have Isaiah push him out to try to make that perimeter shot. And he couldn't hit it. Now he's out there like, you know, he's James Jones or something. So Phoenix definitely is kind of a scary team for me to watch. It's a fun team for me to watch, very exciting, and you really have to kind of root to pull for a guy like Channing, knowing what he did or didn't do here. And to see him down there and growing is just great. So that's definitely a team I would look out for.
Hey, Wendell, always great to catch up with you. We'll be looking forward to reading the piece on Brandon Roy in USA Today, hopefully a little bit later on this week. And, of course, we encourage all our listeners and viewers to check out beyondthebeat.net. And we'll see you at the Rose Garden Thursday night as the Blazers take on the Spurs.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks, Wendell.
All right, Wendell Maxey with us live again, beyondthebeat.net. He's got some great feature pieces there. And be looking for that Brandon Roy article as well. Again, hopefully later this week or before the All-Star break in USA Today. Quick timeout. We'll come back. We're going to talk more Trailblazers NBA. If you'd like to jump on the phones with us, 503-963-4595. Toll-free 877-475-4595 as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, is brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we're back here at Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power. And it is time for the Horizon Air Trivia Contest. Be the first caller to correctly answer our question. You'll pick up a $25 gift certificate to Typhoon. Plus, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a trip for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air, Wings of the Great Northwest. And the question tonight, how many active NBA players have scored at least 50 points in a game? How many active NBA players have scored at least 50 points in a game? Now, Cap, am I supposed to give this hint right now? All right. The captain has provided a hint. It's more than 10, but less than 30. So that kind of narrows it down for you. Again, this is a call-in contest only, 503-963-4595. Toll-free, 877-475-4595. How many NBA players have scored at least 50 points in a game? It's more than 10, but fewer than 30. Andre Miller, of course, did it last Saturday night against the Mavericks down in Dallas when he had the 52-point performance. We'll come back after a quick timeout. We'll give you the answer to our question, get a winner, hopefully, and we'll have a little bit more. We'll check the scores a bit later on. We'll also get to a few more emails. Courtside@trailblazers.com as we continue tonight here on the Trailblazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and streaming live at trailblazers.com.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And Trailblazers Courtside continues, brought to you as always by our friends at Pacific Power, Jay Allen, Michael Holton, and Rebecca. What was that?
The rigors of television magic.
There is some crazy stuff going on in this studio. If only you could see what happens during the breaks. We almost had to have, you know, Curry host this segment because we all decided to take a break. But it is time to give you the answer to our Horizon Air Trivia Contest. First of all, the question, how many active NBA players? Now, are those Buck's kids, by the way? Buck is out. One of our cameramen, he's out with a broken foot, allegedly. No, he's out with a broken foot. Those are his daughters, I believe.
We miss you, Buck.
Yeah, get back here soon. All right, the question tonight, how many active NBA players have scored at least 50 points in a game? We told you the hint, it's more than 10, but fewer than 30. And the answer, Saturday night, Andre Miller became the 24th active NBA player to have scored at least 50 points in a game. So probably more than you would think. I mean, you know, obviously you know about your Kobe's, your LeBron's. Kevin Durant has never done it because I think his career high is 47. He had 45 the other night.
So that means
is it 24? So Cap, is it 24 different players, or it's just been done like Kobe's done it X number of times?
That's what I would guess. I would guess it would be the same guys repeating.
But he says 24 different players. There's the captain's cam right there. Rich Patterson. Oh, that was quick on Comcast Sports. There he is.
He's back
answering more of your calls. And the winner tonight, Jason Dyer from Portland. He knew that there are now 24 active NBA players to have scored at least 50 points. Jason picks up the $25 gift certificate to Typhoon, and he's also entered into a drawing to win a round trip airfare for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air, Wings of the Great Northwest. All right, the Blazers taking on the Jazz tomorrow night. Obviously, Portland owes Utah, well, a couple of times already this season. And as Wheels talked about earlier, Michael and Rebecca, these have not been close games. The Jazz really have dominated this series, especially this season.
Well, the Jazz have run against the Trailblazers, and the Trailblazers haven't been able to run against the Jazz. That's been the biggest thing. Because you know Utah's going to execute well in the half court. But if they do that and also get fast break points, it's kind of a double whammy to the Trailblazers. So while it's difficult to do, the Trailblazers are going to have to go into Energy Solutions Arena and dictate tempo.
Although, you know, I do think there is room for the Blazers to have a good game tomorrow night. If you look at just the shooting percentages average for the last couple of games, you have Utah, who is shooting 60%, 48% from three-point land. And then you've got the Blazers, they were at 40% and then 19% from three-point land. If some of those shots can fall, there can be a very different outcome in this game.
And the Jazz the other night, if you remember, when they got out to that big lead, 26-point lead in the first half, I'm just looking at the box score from that game. They scored 48 points in the paint. You know, so, Michael, I understand, you know, it's Juwan Howard, LaMarcus Aldridge patrolling the paint, especially at the start of games. No Joel, no Greg, of course, we know that. How can the Blazers do a better job of putting up the wall around the paint?
Well, Jay, you got to keep in mind, those points that the Jazz scored in the paint, they weren't half-court execution points. They were fast break points, and many of those, nobody was even home to defend. And so that's the key. You can't let the Jazz get out of the gate like that because, if I remember correctly, it was 21-2 at one point.
Right,
and all 21 points came in the paint.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was not good.
It was one of those you don't even want to watch the tape type of deals.
Yeah, and of course, Nicholas Batum did play in that game. And that was his second game back. He played 16 minutes. But I think Nicholas, you know, is going to be a big help, obviously, for the Blazers tomorrow night in trying to slow down Darren Williams. I mean, because I talked to Nate about this earlier today. He said without Boozer, you know, they still have other weapons. But when you take a guy like Boozer out of the lineup, Williams is just going to be that much more aggressive looking for his shot, trying to get to the rim. So the Blazers defensively are going to, you know, have to be up to the challenge tomorrow night.
Well, they got to be able to get back and set their defense. And then that involves the Trailblazers running good offense in order to get back and set your defense, Jay. And what the Jazz try to do is get physical and take you out. Mm-hmm. The Trailblazers can't become stagnant. And that's what I like about the energy that the Trailblazers are playing with, the slashing, the cutting, the moving, the offensive rebounds, the second chance points, the tip-ins. Those are the things that will equalize what the Jazz does well.
All right, let's go back out to the calls. We have a couple minutes for your phone calls here, 503-963-4595. Mark, in Portland, you're on Trailblazers courtside.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I got a question for you, or what your thoughts are on Juwan Howard. You know, obviously the Blazers brought him in for his 15 years experience to help with all the young players. And with all the injuries, he's getting much more playing time than expected. What do you see for Howard in the future with the Blazers? I mean, do you see the Blazers keeping him for several years, even possibly having Howard retire as a Blazer?
Well, if he's earned it, he's definitely earned it this season. You know, I think what you have to love about Juwan is that he is feisty and he wants to play. And as we've seen this season, you never know who is going to get injured. So you can never have too many big men in this league.
I think, you know, Juwan Howard is a valuable commodity in the NBA, whether as a player, whether in the locker room, whether on the bench, or whether in the front office. I mean, you talk to the people in Charlotte, and they really regret that he's no longer a part mm-hmm. of their organization, because it's hard to get a player that younger players respect, admire, and will listen to. And Juwan Howard has the credibility because of his career and really because of not only what he's done on the floor, but also, I mean, Juwan Howard was one of the first $100 million players when he played for Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
So he commands a lot of respect and a lot of swagger, and then he carries it very well and with humility.
You know, Juwan was on earlier today on 95.5 The Game on Wheels at Work. In fact, he's going to be joining us each week throughout the rest of the season. But he was asked that, you know, somebody called in or texted in and asked him, you know, and he said, hey, I'd love to play at least another year. I'd love to be back here in Portland. And obviously, you know, the Blazers have some decisions. I mean, some guys have emerged, you know, Jeff Pendergraph, because of injuries, Jeff Pendergraph has emerged a little bit. Dante Cunningham is playing some minutes. So it'll be interesting just to see how many big bodies they have room for going into next season. But believe me, I mean, Juwan said, hey, I'd love to come back here. I love the city of Portland. The fans have been tremendous. And I think he loves playing with this group of guys. All right, we got to take another quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Blazers and the Jazz. And if you'd like to jump on the phones with us, 503-963-4595, toll-free 877-475-4595 as we continue tonight here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we're back here, Trailblazers Courtside. And yes, as they're reminding us here on Comcast Sportsnet, Merlin will be back with us next week here on Courtside. Always a big hit. And the regular crew will be back in studio as well. So we always miss Merlin when he's not here. It's a mystery where he goes, too. Apparently, he travels with, you know, Barrett and Rice and Wheels and Tone and all those guys. So interesting.
Merlin is kind of like a UFO.
Really?
Unidentified flying object.
Let's go on that note. Let's go to the phones at 503-963-4595. Toll free. The number to reach us is 877-475-4595. Just a couple more minutes here on Courtside. Let's talk to James in Gresham. James, how you doing tonight?
James.
James, we need
Where
you.
Are you, friend?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, there you are. You're on. What's on your mind tonight?
Nothing much, man. Hey, I signed up on that ESPN Insider on my phone and everything. And,
yes.
I heard a rumor that that guy from Washington Wizards wants to come over here to the Blazers. Haywood, I think his name is.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
Now, how much can you trust rumors that you're getting on your phone, really?
How much did you pay to get that rumor?
But the thing is, you know what? ESPN even said Hedo Turkoglu was going to be on our team, and he never came.
And James, and we're giving you a bad time, but in all honesty, obviously that rumor has been out there, mm-hmm. that the Blazers had some conversations, or inquired. I think a lot of teams have inquired about Haywood. There was one report that the Wizards wanted, I believe it was Rudy Fernandez and Nicholas Batum, and the Blazers said thanks, but no thanks. I mean, the Blazers, they're not going to – that's not the kind of deal the Blazers are interested in, I don't think. The Blazers are not going to be – I don't think trading away key pieces like Rudy, Nicholas, Jared Bayless anytime soon. I mean, what's your guys' perspective on it?
I definitely agree with you there. But, James, it is a good question because Brendan Haywood is certainly a tough player. So having that kind of physical presence would certainly always be a good thing for any team.
Well, trades are negotiations. I mean, teams ask for the moon when you start the initial part of the dialogue. At the end of the day, how aggressive is Washington in wanting to move Brendan Haywood? You know, the Trailblazers have a lot of assets, I guess is the term to use. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the trade deadline nears.
All right, as we start to wrap things up, we want to say thanks to our crew. We have a great crew here on Trailblazers Courtside, both on the radio side, Rich Patterson, and on Comcast Sportsnet. Our TV producer is Adam Willis. Our director is Phil Beard. Video tonight handled by Greg St. Martin. Graphics by John McConnell. Audio capably handled, as always, by our friend Corey Griffin. On the cameras, Jeff Park and John Curry. Our executive producer is Scott Zachary and Dave Kamens. Our engineer tonight, Bruce Williams. And our radio producer, as we talked about, the captain, Rich Patterson. A reminder, coming up on Comcast Sportsnet in just a moment, it is the premiere of the Oregon Sports Awards, which were held over the weekend out at the Nike campus, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. All right, final thoughts here quickly, Michael, about the Blazers and Jazz tomorrow night.
Important for the Trailblazers to get an early start because the Jazz, you can't play catch-up and beat them.
Rebecca,
not in that arena. That arena is just as crazy and loud as you Portland fans, so you got to get a jump early.
All right, again, Blazers and Jazz tomorrow night. We'll have the coverage on the radio side at 5:05. This is a game that was scheduled for a little bit later, but it is an earlier pregame, 5:05, tip-off at 6. And that game will also be seen live on KGW News Channel 8. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Yeah, everybody loves the hat, Rebecca.
No,
thanks for listening and watching here.
Thanks. Oh, the peanuts. Look at the peanut gallery. Look at the peanut gallery.
We'll talk to you next week on Trailblazers Courtside.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, has been brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. This has been a Blazers Broadcasting Sports presentation.